أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: الدنيا دار من لا دار له، ومال من لا مال له، ولها يجمع من لا عقل له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected brothers and elders, we see the years passing by like months, and the months passing by like weeks, and the weeks passing by like days. We were here last Friday, and it seems only a few hours passed by, and we're here again today. This is how fast this time is finishing of our life. Every day, one page from the book of my life is ripped away, and still I am ghafil, I am negligent, and I do not know, and I do not remember that one day I have to leave this world very soon. Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, death is something which is inevitable, it has to come. If you try to fight it, it will beat you. Many times we fight in this world and we win. But death is something, if you try to fight it, it will beat you. If you run away from it, it will find you. Even if you, in the ayat of the Quran, if Allah Ta'ala is telling us, even if you hide yourselves in big castles with guards, still you cannot escape death. It will come for sure. So every day we are getting closer, and time is passing by faster and faster, and still we are so negligent, still we are unaware. That's why we have this gathering, that's why we go to Jummah Salah. Some people, they will come in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment and they have no preparation. They have no preparation and they live their life of negligence. So Allah Ta'ala, He gives everybody signs in His life to remind Him. Every day we have reminders. So He will be asked, did not your father go from this world in front of your eyes? Did you not think that my father was the son of my grandfather and I am the father of my son? If my father left this world, so I will also leave this world. Did you not ever see a janazah happening in your community? Did you not think that today I am praying the janazah of this person, tomorrow all these people will pray my janazah? So these people, they will be asked by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives me and you many signs every day. And then these people will be told, how long did you live in Mississauga? How long did you live in the world? How long did you live in Canada? But not only us, even those people who came before us, they will say a strange answer. Today we say, I'm going to live 50 years. I'm going to live 100 years. And maybe they'll invent some kind of medicine, I won't even have to die. So leave me alone, Maulana. Leave me alone, Sufi Sahab. Oh, these Tablighi brothers, they're always bothering me to come in the path of Allah and prepare for death. Leave me alone, I'm going to live forever. They're going to invent some kind of new medicine, a new treatment where you don't have to die. And if I don't die, at least I'm going to live for another 50 years and then die, or 20 years. So see, Shaitan is fooling us. So not only us, but those people who live for 1,000 in Nuh alayhi salam, his prophethood was for 950 years, and he lived for more than 1300 years. So the ummahs before us, they had lives of more than 1000 years. We and they also will give a strange answer to Allah when Allah will say, how long did you live in the world? And I'll tell you one story and then you will understand better. So there was a woman, her kids used to passed away when they were very small. So she thought that I should go and tell the prophet of my time, he's still alive, I should go and tell him and complain to him that my kids, they pass away when they're very young. But it's from the previous nations. It mentioned this story. So this woman, she came to her prophet and she said, please make dua for my children. They die when they're very young. So the prophet of the time said, what is the age of your children when they die? So she said, they die at the age of 350 years. So she was very, very tensed and she was worried that my children are dying too young because their life is more than 1,000 years, right? So the prophet said, do you know there's about to come a nation, their life will only be 60 or 70 years. She was surprised. She said, what did you say? 60 or 70 years? Yes, there's about to come a nation, their life will only be 60 or 70 years. So she said, will they build houses? If they're only going to live 60 or 70 years, they don't need to make any houses. So we bring this woman to downtown Toronto and show her 100-story building, maybe she will faint. 60 or 70 years they will live, will they build houses? She was surprised. So the Nabi said, yes, they will build houses more stronger than our houses. Then she said something which is very strange. She said, if I had a life of 60 or 70 years, I would spend it in one sajda. I wouldn't do anything else. I would just be in sajda if I knew I was only going to live 60 or 70 years. And look how negligent we are in our life. 20 years is gone in sleeping. If you live 60 years, you sleep 8 hours, 20 years gone sleeping. 20 years gone in youth. You don't even know who you are, teenager. Let me have fun. 20 years gone. So 40 years gone. And then eating and all your necessities and all of these things. Another 5-10 years gone. How much is left? 5 or 10 years. And Shaitan, he gave us so much deception. I want to make a house. I want to buy a car. I also want to buy property in Pakistan. I want to buy property in Saudi Arabia. And this and this and this. How much time you have, brother? And nowadays, not even guaranteed. Went to work in the morning, 12 o'clock, receive phone call, heart attack. 1 o'clock, receive phone call, accident. So unguaranteed life. Adunya, daru malla, darala. The Prophet said, this world is the house of one who has no house. Wa malu malla, marala. And the person who has wealth here, he has no wealth because his wealth couldn't finish when he dies. Walaha yajma'u malla aqlala. The person who's collecting this dunya has no aqal, has no brains, because he's going to leave everything behind. He's going to leave everything behind and he's collecting and want more and more. It's two jobs, night shift, double shift, for what? To leave everything behind. So she said, will they build her stronger than sajda? If I have this life, I'll spend it in one sajda. So these people and us will come in front of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will say, come levis. How long did you live in Scarborough, in Mississauga, in Toronto? Some people will say, Yeoman, one day. Some other group will be there and say, no, you're wrong. We disagree. Allah Ta'ala say, what do you say? Baadho Yeoman, half a day. Live more than 1,000 year life? And they will say, we lived only half a day in this world. And Allah Ta'ala will finish the argument. He will say, you did not live one day in the dunya, you did not live half a day in the dunya, but you even lived less than that time in the dunya. How long is the day of judgment? Khamsina alfa sana, yawm al-qiyamah. One day of judgment is 50,000 years long. So if you compare this life of 60, 70 years to day of judgment, this life is only 2.5 minutes. 60, 70 year life compared to 50,000 years long is only 2.5 minutes. So how short is our life? And how much ideas and goals and desires we have planned for the next 20, 30 years? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. If we don't even know, then maybe tomorrow we won't even be here. So this is why we have this gathering every week. And this is why we have Jummah every week, to go and listen. But today, alhamdulillah, we come and the imam is in the first rakat. And mashallah, we leave before the imam does the second salam and we're out, and this is our Jummah. The Jummah is for weekly reminder that one day you leave this world. So get ready. Come before the Jummah azan and sit and wait for the imam to come and listen carefully. This is only once a week. But alhamdulillah, our Jummah is also like this. So my brothers, these are reminders for us every day to remind us that one day we're gonna go from this world. And the Prophet ﷺ, he put his hand on the shoulder of one of the Sahaba, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Kun fi dunya ka innaka ghareeb." Live in this world as if you are a stranger, O abir al-sabeel, or if you are a traveler or wayfarer. What does a traveler do? We go to here. We came on the way. We see Mississauga Airport, Toronto Airport. So when you are in the airport, will you take the best food? Will you take your bed too, and your sofa? Say, I'm going to stay in this airport. I'm a transit passenger, and I'm going to keep the nice bed, and I'm going to keep the best food, and we keep the best drinks. I'm also going to take my sofa, because I have to stay there for 2 hours. So the person will tell you, brother, you don't need a sofa and a bed to stay there for 2 hours. And you're crazy. Mawlana Sahab, you're crazy. You don't want me to work for this dunya. You want me to leave this dunya. So who's crazy? You're only going to stay there for 2 hours, and you're going to take your bed and you're going to take your sofa? So the Prophet said, live in this world as you, for you are a traveler. So the person who's traveling, he doesn't care for the nice bed, doesn't care for the sofa, he doesn't even need the cold food. When I get to my destination, I will eat all the biryanis. But let me eat this cold sandwich right now. I don't care about the cold food right now. Right now I'm a musafir, right now I'm a traveler. When I get to the destination, I will enjoy it and I will sleep on the nice bed. So where is our destination? Our destination is not this world. Our destination is not building a huge mansion. Our destination is not the destination of those people who don't know Jannat. They don't have Jannat in front of them, so their destination is this world. They plan for this world, they live for this world, they die for this world, they work day and night for this world, because they don't have any other destination. But me and you have a destination, and that is Jannat. And still, if we spend all of our energies for this temporary world, then we are the biggest fool. The Prophet said, the one who collects this world, man la aqla lahu, he has no aqal, he has no intelligence, the one who's only collecting for this world, and he's forgot the hereafter. He's forgot Jannat, the place where you will live forever. That is the real happiness. That is the real home for every believer. It's Jannat. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. And another hadith of the Prophet, the dunya is a prison for the believer. If somebody is in a prison, what does he have to do? He has to follow the rules. He has to follow the uniform. He has to follow the timing. He has to eat certain type of food. And he has to drink certain type of drink. If he says, no, it's my life, I will do what I want, you will get more time, more detention, you will get in more trouble. So the prisoner, he has to obey rules. So ad-dunya sijnul mu'min, that, oh you believer, you are like a prisoner in this world. You have certain timings where you have to do certain things. You have certain dress, you have a uniform, that is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have certain food that you have to eat, only halal, not haram. You have certain drinks where you can only drink, and some things you cannot drink. So live in this world like a prisoner. Wa jannatul kafir. And this world is a jannat, a paradise, freedom for the non-believer. He eats what he wants, he drinks what he wants, he wears what he wants, he goes where he wants. He has a jannat right now in this world. But when you flip it around, after they die, and after we die, after the believers die, and after the kuffar die, then it flips around. Then the jannat of the mu'mineen start, and the prison of the disbelievers start. So this life of 67th year, invest it and become a prisoner and then live in a Jannat forever and ever. Or use this life and freedom and do what you like and live in a prison forever and ever. So the smart person will say, I will live like a prisoner now for 67th year, 2.5 minutes, and I will live in a Jannat forever. But the person with no intelligence, he will say, what are you saying? What are you saying? Let me enjoy. This is not haram. Just read Bismillah and eat everything. Read Bismillah and drink everything. It's not haram. You're making everything haram. You're too strict. And then they say, you're fundamentalist. You are extremist. You don't have to pray. Allah is merciful. Islam is here, brother. In the heart. Iman. Here. I don't have to be outside, show everybody I'm a praying. My class is here. So? He wants to live his own life. He doesn't want to follow rules. He doesn't want to follow orders. So this 67 years is enjoying. And then prison forever. That's why the Prophet said, he told us, live in this world a short time, like a traveler, like a prisoner. And then Allah Ta'ala will give you what you cannot imagine in Jannah. That is forever. أَعْدَدْتُ لِيَبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. This one hadith of the Prophet. Allah Ta'ala is saying, that I have prepared for my pious slaves, the ones who don't go to the clubs, the ones who don't listen to music, the ones who don't eat haram, the ones who don't take interest, the ones who don't lie, the ones who don't cheat, the ones who don't disobey their parents. I prepared for my pious slaves. What has he prepared? مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. No eyes have ever seen. No eyes have ever seen. That thing that you get from eBay, some eyes have already seen it. That's why it's coming to you. They might say in the advertisement, nobody has seen this before. That's their catch line, right? When they want to sell you something, when they want to sell you new furniture, I say, right? They say, no eyes have ever seen this furniture before. But that's their, how did it come here? Somebody has seen it. But that's only going to be true in Jannat. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. Nobody has seen, no eyes have seen. That's what Allah has prepared for His pious. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. And no ears have ever heard about those things. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And no heart or mind has ever even imagined what Allah has prepared for His pious slaves in Jannat. This is Jannat. This is our real home. Real home is not Mississauga or Toronto. Our real home is Jannat. Your home is coming. Just at the gate of Jannah, before the people go inside, just when they reach the gate of Jannah, there will be four announcements. Four announcements at the gate of Jannah. Live here forever and never die. Hamesha raho, kabhi maut nahi aayegi. In this world, everybody's looking for that medicine to increase life, for that doctor that will give me longer life. Human beings, they want to live forever, right? So the first announcement, Allah created us. He knows we want to live a long life. The first announcement will be, live here forever and never die. Number two, the people will hear this announcement. They'll say, if we live forever, but in Scarborough, but in Mississauga, we used to get old. What if we get old in Jannah? Then Jannah will be no fun. The second announcement will be, stay young forever and never get old again. Then the people will think, what if we live forever, we stay young forever, but in the world life, we used to get sick. We had to go to doctor, Scarborough General Hospital, and get treatment, and medicine, and prescription, and vitamin. What if in Jannah you also have the whole medicine bottle every day, take, your wife is reminding you, bite, take your medicine. What if Jannah also medicine and doctor and sickness? The third announcement will be, stay healthy forever and never get sick. This is what we all want. It's not here, it's there. Then the people will think, what if we live forever, and we stay young forever, and we stay healthy forever? But in the dunya, sometimes we were poor and we had to work. What if in Jannah you have to work night shift, and double shift, and drive taxi, and go to work? Then Jannah will be no fun. So the fourth announcement will be, you have kingdom forever, and you will never get poor again. With these four announcements, the people will enter into Jannah. So this is our real home. It's coming. A home where there's no sadness. A home where there's no fighting. A home which is forever and never going to finish. In the world, there's fighting, there's sicknesses, there's sadness, there's arguments. In Jannah, there will be no arguments. In Jannah, there will be no disagreements. There will be love and tranquility and happiness forever and ever and ever. Today, we don't talk about Jannah. We don't tell our kids about Jannah, so our heart is attached to this temporary world. And we want to make everything in this temporary world. But Jannah is a place where all your desires will be fulfilled. And today, if we want to eat something, let's say if we want a chicken, so over here we don't see it, but back home, what do you have to do? The chicken is there, and you have to run behind the chicken to eat the chicken, right? The chicken doesn't want to be eaten by you. He's going to run. Today they have machines, so they capture the chicken. Right? But back home, we still have that some places where we slaughtered the chicken by our hand, right? So the chicken is running, and we're running after the chicken. Now finally, we slaughtered the chicken, we have to cut the chicken, then we have to make the chicken. Many hour, big problem. But in Jannat, it won't be like this. The chicken of Jannat will come, and it will come in front of you, and it will say, "Oh, Wali of Allah, would you not like to eat me?" It will come to you, not you running behind it. So this person will say, "Yeah, I love to eat you. Why not?" So the chicken of Jannat will say, "How would you like to eat me? Barbecue, roasted, baked, fried? How would you like to eat me?" So Saudi Arabian people like what? Roasted? Huh? Arab people? We like fried, right? With masala. Yeah. Everything. In Jannah, you will like everything. So you will pick roasted. Say, "I want roasted chicken." So in front of your eyes, the chicken will come automatically within a second. No baking, no roasting, no frying, nothing. Within a second, it will come in a plate and it will be roasted chicken. And you will eat that chicken. You never ate anything like it before in your entire life. And the second thing, if you eat one slice of pizza, you're really hungry. So you say, "I'm going to eat the whole box." Right? You're going to eat the whole box. "Today I'm going to eat the whole box. I'm really hungry." So you eat one slice, and you say, "No, maybe I'm going to eat two more slices." And you eat one more slice, and you say, "Ah, it's okay, I'm done." Before you say, "I'm going to eat the whole box." But when you start eating, the desire to eat more becomes less. And the sweetness and the satisfaction, you don't want to eat more. Once you start eating, it becomes less. But in Jannat, it will be opposite. The first bite will be really great. The second bite will be greater. And the third bite will be even better. And it will keep on increasing forever and ever and ever. You will only eat for pleasure. You will not eat for hunger. Because there are no hardships. And hunger is a hardship. There is no hardships in Jannat. The only reason the people will eat in Jannat is for pleasure. And you will drink, and you will only drink for pleasure. In the world, if you drink one bottle, and then two bottles, and then third bottle, okay, maybe later. But in Jannat, one bottle, subhanAllah, never tasted anything like this before in my life. Second bottle, hey, this is even better than the first one. Third one, hey, this is even better than the second one. It keeps on increasing. And you will only drink for pleasure, because there's no thirst in Jannah. Thirst is a hardship. There's no thirst in Jannah. You will only drink for pleasure. This is the life Allah has prepared for us. This is the reality that we have in front of us. It's for those people who obey Allah and His Rasul. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah is talking. The people who obey Allah and His Rasul, they have a great success. What is the great success? Jannah. The pleasure of Allah and Jannah, where they will live forever and ever, and they will never die. So this is our home. This is where we want to go. This is what we have to remind each other about every day. And this is what me and you have to prepare for every day. Jannah. That is the garden we have to prepare for. So that's why the Prophet reminded us that obey Allah, follow the orders of Allah, and do what Allah wants. And make your connection with Allah. There's one very beautiful narration. Man aslaha ma baynahu wa bayna Allah whoever corrects what is between him and Allah, أصلح الله ما بينه وبين الناس وسائر خلقه. Allah will correct what is between you and the whole creation. They have wife problem, a family problem, children problem, job problem. Why? Because my connection with Allah is not good. The narration is saying, you fix what is between you and Allah, and Allah will fix what is between you and all the people. So I'm trying to find a solution like this, but the solution is like this. Unless and until I fix the solution, fix the problem like this, the problem will never be fixed like this. All the people around me will still be bothering me. All the creation around me will still trouble me unless and until I fix the connection like this. And that's what the Sahaba did. The Sahaba were very smart people. Very smart people. Maybe they didn't have like us degrees or education, but they did one thing. They fixed the connection with Allah. And the whole creation became servant for the Sahaba. Uqbah bin Nafi' and his Jama'at, they were traveling. Now I'm going to tell you what it means to fix what is between you and Allah. Uqbah bin Nafi' radiallahu anhu and his Jama'at were traveling in Tunis. They reached to the jungle. And the people of the jungle came, African jungle, and they said, you don't live in this area. You live in a sandy environment, desert environment, and this is a jungle. And in this area, there are very scary and dangerous animals, which you have never seen before. And they will harm you and they will hurt you. So our mashwara, our opinion is that you leave from here and don't stay here. What did the Sahaba do? Did they say, let's call the police? Let's get strong tents. Let's build a nice big house so these animals can't get us. Or let's have guards at night who will shoot these animals. Sahaba were very smart people. They knew that everything is in the control of Allah. So let's ask Allah. Let's fix our connection with Allah. If we fix our connection with Allah, these things cannot harm us. Nothing can harm us. One sheikh, he was riding on top of a lion. So a person from far away, he saw this person, this sheikh coming on top of a lion. And he's riding the lion like we ride a horse. So this person, he was surprised. When he came close, he said, Hazrat, Sheikh, this lion eats humans and it rips humans apart. But I see something strange. You're using the lion like a donkey, like a horse. How did you do this? This is what we're all looking for. We want everything to obey us. But we don't want to obey Him. This is the problem. I want my children to obey me. I want my wife to obey me. I want the society to listen to me. My word should be on top. I should be respected. I should be loved. I should be listened to. But I don't want to listen to Allah. I don't want to follow the rules of Allah. Unless and until I listen to Allah, if I listen to Him, then everything will listen to me. He said, how are you riding on top of a lion when a lion kills and it rips apart humans? He said, come here, I will tell you a secret. He said, you give your neck in the obedience of Allah. You give your neck, meaning you bow down to the order of Allah. And all the creation will give its neck in your obedience. You just have to do one thing. You give your neck in the obedience of Allah. Allah says, do it, do it. Allah says, stop, you stop. The Rasul of Allah says, yes, you say yes. The Rasul of Allah says, no, you say no. That's all you have to do. If you do this, then every creation will give its neck in your obedience. So the Sahaba, when they were told about these wild animals, he didn't do anything else. They climbed the biggest tree. One of the Sahabi climbed the biggest tree. And he said, O animals of this jungle, we are the companions of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we see you after 3 days, we will kill you. And he made this announcement to the animals. For us it's strange, but it's written in the books. For us it seems like, what's going on? It's not possible. It is written in the books, after this announcement, the animals, they started walking out of the jungle. And those animals which had babies, they took their babies in their mouth and they left the jungle. So one scholar, he said something strange. He said, kya janwaron ko Arabi zaban samajh aati thi? Did the animals understand Arabic? Tell me, animals understand Arabic? No. When you talk in Arabic to a cat, does she understand? No, right? So animals understand Arabic? No. Even if somebody understands your language, sometimes they don't listen to you. Like I tell my son, do this. He says, no, I don't want to do it. First of all, they didn't understand Arabic. Secondly, they didn't have to do what this Sahabi said to leave the jungle. Why did they leave the jungle? That's the point. It's because the Sahaba fixed what is between them and Allah. So Allah made all the creation obey the Sahaba. I'll give you another example. If you fix what is between you and Allah, Allah will fix what is between you and the entire creation. What is the example? That today, we all know in our houses, we have a main power switch. And in every building, big building, there's a main power switch, electric switch. So if you have a brand new, let's say, fridge, and you purchase it for $7,000. You don't buy the $2,000 Frigidaire or LG. You want to buy that special company from America, $7,000, $8,000. Wait, brother, I bought a new house. I'm going to buy the best fridge. Stainless steel, has all the features, $8,000. Plug it in, it's not working. What's wrong with this? I bought this fridge for $8,000, it's not working. You go and you call somebody, electrician. He said, brother, your fridge is fine, but your main power switch is off. Go down to the basement and turn on the main power switch. And forget about the fridge, even your small charger will work. Agar tumhara main power switch ghar ka on hai, toh fridge toh kya? Chota sa charger bhi lagaoge, woh bhi chal jayega. Today, we do everything, but we don't find happiness. Today we buy everything, but we don't find tranquility. Fighting in the house, arguments, children not obeying. The main power switch is off. Make your connection with Allah, and then you see how your life comes up. So this is why we have to have a connection with Allah every second of our life. Then all of the other connections, the charger will work, the fridge will work, the fan will work, the microwave will work, good relation with the wife, good relation with the children, good relation with the relatives, good relation with the co-workers, good relation with the masjid saatis, all the connections are working because the main power switch is on. But if the main power switch is off, fighting with the wife, our children not obeying, fighting in the masjid, fighting at work, getting fired, job not going through. Why? Brother, fix your main connection. Your main connection is off. So the Sahaba, they were very smart. They made a connection with Allah, and Allah Ta'ala took care of everything else. And the second part of the ayat, may yutillaha wa rasulahu. And this is what we were discussing last week, that we have to obey Nabi Prophet in each and everything. Everything we do, we have to see how the Prophet did it. And the Prophet was the best role model and the best example. So very briefly, I'll just tell you one or two incidents of the life of the Prophet, that how he brought people close to the deen. Today we want people to fill up this masjid. We want in my house, everybody should pray their salah. Everybody should obey Allah's orders and follow the sunnah. But I am coming to the masjid and listening to the bayan and listening to Jummah khutbah and maybe going in the path of Allah and visiting the brothers. But my family, they don't have this opportunity. So how can I bring them to close to Deen? Maybe some of my relatives, they have never come to the masjid. How am I supposed to bring them close to the Deen? We have to look at the seerah. I might be making da'wat according to my mind, and because I'm doing the wrong way, the people are not coming closer to Allah, they're going far away from Allah. One time, one person, he came into masjid and he was making wuzu, and he used to be a part of this group where they didn't know, but they were actually telling people to become atheist, and he was in a Muslim country. So one day accidentally he popped up in a masjid, and he was famous that people knew him that he was doing this. So one of the people who used to pray 5 times a day in the masjid while he was making wuzu, he was about to wipe his head, instead of welcoming him, that this person is involved in a wrong group, I should welcome him, I should love him so he comes close to Allah. What did this person do? When this youngster was making wuzu, about to wipe his head, so he took water. So this 5-time namazi, very pious man, he said, look at this atheist, he has come in the masjid. So this youngster said, I had the water of wuzu in my hands, instead of putting it on my head, I let it go to the ground, and I never went back to the masjid. So he was telling him the right thing, that why are you telling people to become atheists? But he did it in the wrong way. He was in the masjid. One brother came in the masjid, he was wearing shorts. He was a new Muslim. He doesn't know that shorts are not allowed. So the person who was one chacha, started yelling at him. The person said, I'm never going to come back to the masjid again. He doesn't know. He lives in an environment where nobody taught him, you should welcome him, you should love him, you should give him some chai, you should give him some chocolate, and then explain to him with love. So today we are making people go far away from the deen. We're thinking we're doing the right thing. Mardari Jamil Sahib, he tashkiled one actor. See, now I'm going to tell you one incident now. From this we can learn that how the parents should do tarbiyat of their children. Because sometimes we do it in the wrong way, and the children, they go to the opposite direction. They hate to pray them. We do it wrong way, then I kabhi bhi namaz nahi padunga. Baba ne mujhe mara tha. He's not a dog, or a donkey, or a horse. For horse you have to hit, but a human being you don't have to hit. Human being, he thinks with his brain. He has a brain. You have to make him understand. And that's what the Prophet did. He never hit anybody. You look in all the hadith, Muslim, Bukhari, Tirmidhi, Nisa'i, Abu Dawud, all the Sahih hadith. Find one hadith when the Prophet, he hit somebody and he said, why don't you pray? Pray! Anas radiallahu anhu, he lived with the Prophet, he did service for the Prophet for 10 years. 10 years, long time. He said, the Prophet never said to me, why did you do this? We see this every day in our house. Ye kyun kiya tumne? Why did you do this? The Prophet never said to me in 10 years, why did you do this? And he never said to me, why didn't you do this? Yeh tumne kyun nahi kiya? Why did you do this or why didn't you do this? In 10 years, I made so many mistakes. But he never said to me. This is the, forget about hitting. He never said to me, why did you do this? Forget about hitting. So we are doing da'wat in the wrong manner, where our own family is going far from the deen instead of coming close to the deen. So Maharaj Jamil Sahib, he said to this actor, that your family is so pious. Your father, his father, this actor's father used to work in the police, and he never took one penny of rishwat bribery. So if you're in Pakistan and you don't take rishwat and you're in the police, you're a big wali of Allah. You're in the police in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or India or Bangladesh and you don't take rishwat, Jannati. Automatic. So this person, he never took, he was so pious, 5-time namaz, he never took $1 of rishwat his whole life, and he was in the police. So he's so pious. Never missed his namaz. This is his father. and his son is an actor. So Maulana Sahab, he was surprised, this Sheikh was surprised that your father was so pious and how did you become an actor? So he said, Maulana Sahab, one day I snuck out of the house to watch a movie. My father was in there, so I snuck out with my friends. And when my father got home, somebody told him I went to watch the movie. And when I got home, he was ready with the big shoe. You know the one the police wear? The big black one. He said, Maulana Sahab, when I came home, my father knew I went to watch a movie and he was ready with the big black shoe waiting for me. And he beat me. And he hit me. And he told me, Tum film dekhne gaye the? Main tumhe bata. And he kept on hitting, you went to watch a movie, I will show you. This is haram. This is haram. Allah does not like. He's sahi baat keh rahe na. He's saying the right thing, that Allah does not like us watching movies. And it is haram. But he's doing it in the wrong way. He's doing tabligh, he's doing da'wat in the wrong manner. He's hitting him. He's disgracing him. Tarbiyat tawheen mein nahi badalni chahiye. This is the point. Agar aap kisi ki tarbiyat kare aur aap uski tawheen kar dein, to aapke khilaf ho jaye. If you're doing tarbiyat, you're training somebody and you humiliate him, then he will go against your words. He'll go against you. He said, he kept on beating me, and he said, you went to watch a movie. After he finished hitting me with the shoe, I stood up and he said, you stop me from a movie, I'm going to become an actor. Do what you want. Show me what you're going to do. This is what we're doing to our kids today. Wrong way of tarbiyat. They are going in the wrong direction. It's not a horse or a donkey where you hit it. हमें अभी डंडा लाता हूँ अभी तुम्हें बताता हूँ घर चलो मैं तुम्हें बताऊंगा. This is all every day we say. जब थोड़ा सा गुस्सा आया तो एक चमार लगा दें ये दूर चले जाएंगे नहीं हमारे से दूर. They will make other friends. If you hit your children, you will not be their friend anymore. They will make someone else their friend. And they will go away from your house. And then you will cry. And I will cry. Where is my child? Because we didn't become their friend. We did tarbiyat in the wrong direction. He said, Maulana Sahab, he hit me. He said, you want to watch a movie? So I told him I will become an actor. And from that day, I decided that my goal of my life is to become an actor. And that's why I became an actor. It's the wrong direction. The Prophet, he never hit anybody. The Prophet, he never yelled at anybody. The Prophet, he never cursed anybody. Now I will tell you about the life of the Prophet. I mentioned the hadith. As far as I remember, is hadith of Muslim Sharif, where one man came into the masjid, Bedouin, villager. And these villagers were strange people. They don't go to any school. They're born in the village. They die in the village. They hang around horses and camels and cows. So their mind is very different. 24 hours a day, they're around animals. So they're very hard to explain them to do anything. Very big, I'll mention some of the incidents of these villagers in his book. He said one time one of these Bedouins, these villagers, he came into the masjid and he started praying salat behind the imam. The imam was reciting, Inna arsalna Nuhan. Indeed, we sent Nuh alayhi salam. The next part of the ayat is, Ila qawmihi, to his people. So the imam, he was saying, Inna arsalna Nuhan, and he forgot, ila qawmihi, to his people. So he goes back again, Inna arsalna Nuhan, indeed we sent Nuh alayhi salam, to his people. He doesn't remember, ila qawmihi. The villager in the back is getting mad. So the imam keeps repeating, after 5-6 times, the villager, he speaks in namaz, Ya imam, illam yadhab Nuhan, arsil ghayrahu. If Nuh alayhi salam doesn't want to go, why are you having a hard time? Send somebody else. Send Musa, send Isa. So these are the people the Prophet had to train and do their tarbiyat. How are you going to do tarbiyat of these type of people who live in the village, grow in the village? They don't know.
So this guy, one of the villagers, mentioned in the books of hadith, he came into the masjid and he started doing something which is unimaginable. He started urinating in the masjid. In the masjid, not Meadowell Islamic Center, not Abu Bakr Masjid in Scarborough, not Medina Masjid in Toronto, in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started urinating. Imagine if somebody comes into our masjid and does that, what the management will do. But he did that in the masjid of the Prophet. What did the Prophet do? From this we will learn that how we should give da'wah, and how we should train people, and how we should deal with people who are doing the wrong thing. He's doing the wrong thing. He's doing one of the biggest wrong things that anybody could even imagine. But the Prophet, he did his tarbiyat in such a way where such things happen which is unimaginable. When you hear the end of the story, you will be surprised. So now this person is urinating in the masjid. The Sahaba are furious. They want to, you know, teach him a lesson. The Prophet said, stop. Let him finish. The Prophet is rahmatul lil alameen. He's a mercy for everybody. If somebody is urinating and you stop him, it will hurt him. The Prophet said, let him finish. The Prophet is hakeemun, alimun. He is wise, he is knowledgeable. What is the hikmat? If somebody is urinating in one spot and you move him while he's urinating, the urine will be all over the place. So let him finish. He's in one spot? Okay, no problem, we'll clean that one spot. But if now if you take him and you drag him outside the masjid, the whole masjid will become dirty. So the Prophet is rahmatul alameen, he's also knowledgeable, he's also very wise. He said, let him finish. So when this person he finished, the Prophet he called him. And the Sahaba cleaned it. The Prophet, with such love, with such kind words, and right now what he did, he should be slapped. You don't know this is the house of Allah? Come over here. Get up. He should be slapped for what he did. That is very bad. The Prophet said, come here. Allah is pure. Allah loves purity. And what you did is not good in the house of Allah. Make the other person realize his mistake. With love and affection, without humiliating him. This is the way to give da'wah. This is the way to make people close to Allah. The person, he realized his mistake. And he said, I did something so bad in the house of Allah. مَا ضَرَبَنِي وَمَا شَدَمَنِي. He didn't even slap me, he didn't hit me, and he didn't curse at me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such beautiful akhlaq that he showed us. How can we hit people? How can we slap our kids? How can we beat our kids and our families when we have the akhlaq of our Nabi in front of us? مَا ضَرَبَنِي وَمَا شَتَمَنِي. He didn't hit me, he didn't slap me, he didn't curse me. Now he's going back to his tribe. He didn't have kurta, he didn't have a shirt. The Prophet took off his shirt and he gave him as a hadya, as a gift. He didn't have an animal, a ride, a camel or a horse. The Prophet had a camel or a horse and he gave him also as a gift. Now he has a new clothes. And the clothes of who? Whose clothes is he wearing? And he has a new ride. Whose ride is he riding? Who can be more happier than this guy? And he did something so bad. And he's so happy. The Prophet made him feel so good. The Prophet used to make people feel good. This is what every Muslim today has to learn. If the people inside this masjid who come and pray in this masjid, they start making people outside the masjid feel good, this masjid will be too small. If the people who are musallis, they go to people's houses and they knock their doors and they give them kind words and they give them love and they make them feel good, you have to build 10 masjids like this within 1 month. This is the akhlaq that brought the people running to Islam. One Sahabi, Zahir ibn Haram al-Ashja'i radiallahu anhu, used to live in the village. He used to bring some butter and milk to the Prophet, and because in the city you can't find pure things. So he used to bring some hadiya from the village. And the Prophet used to give him some hadiya. One day Zahir came, very poor guy, very poor. Nobody respects him, nobody wants to sit with him. Nobody wants to call him to their wedding. Nobody wants to call him to their party. He's a very poor guy in society. So he came to the Prophet and he knocked the door, and the Prophet was not there. So he told the wives of the Prophet, when the Prophet comes, tell him that Zahir came. And he went to the market to sell whatever he had to make some money for his bread and butter. The Prophet, he came home. He said, did anybody come to see me? So the wife said, yes, Zahir came. The Prophet is the VIP of this dunya. Today we become a small VIP of a small organization and we got so much pride. The Prophet, he's the most important person of this world. He has the keys of Jannat in his hands. What did he say? He said, I will go and find Zahir. Because he came to visit me, I will go and find where he is. Small little title, minister, governor. Acha, who came? Okay, tell them to come again, I'm busy. Why should I go and see them? They should come and see me. Who has the biggest title in this universe more than the Prophet? He is going to see a poor man who came to see him, showing us akhlaq, good manners. So he went and he found Zahir in the market. He's selling what he had brought from the village. And somebody's selling something, somebody's selling, though everybody's, you know, talking loud in the marketplace. So the Prophet, he went behind Zahir and he locked him from behind. Now he's locked by the Prophet. How strong is the Prophet? He's locked by the Prophet, he can't get out. As soon as the Prophet locked him, he wants to get out because he's in a lock and he doesn't know who it is. It could be enemy, could be friend, you don't know. You're in a lock. Somebody comes and locks you from behind in university, what do you do? He locks you. So the Prophet locked him. And he said, "May yashtari al-abd, who will buy this slave?" The Prophet wants to make him feel good, joke around with him. Nobody is giving him respect. Nobody wants to talk to him. He's a poor guy. "May yashtari al-abd." Before he said, when somebody locked me, I wanted to get out. But when I heard the voice, oh, this is my Prophet. I got closer. Because now I don't want to get up. He said, I got more closer so I can be closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "May yashtari al-abd, who will buy the slave?" So Zahir says, I said, "Ya Rasulullah, whoever buys this slave will find him to be naqis, deficient, incomplete. I have nothing. I am very incomplete." Now look at what the Prophet said to make Zahir feel good. This is the most important thing. We have to say good words to our families, to our masjid satis, to our brothers, to our relatives. We have to say good words to everybody to make them feel good. What did the Prophet say when Zahir said that he is incomplete and nobody wants to buy him? The Prophet said, he may be incomplete in the eyes of the people of this world, but he's not incomplete in the eyes of the one in the sky. He is not incomplete in the eyes of Allah. So Zahir, imagine how good he felt after these beautiful words. So this is how the Prophet used to make people feel good. So lastly, the story of the person. So now he has a new horse, he has a new kurta, and he's going back. And all the way back to his village, what did he say? مَا ضَرَبَنِي وَمَا شَتَمَنِي. He didn't hit me, he didn't scream and yell at me. So he's saying these words that the Prophet, the way he dealt with him, he was so happy. Before he reached to his village, from far away, he was saying, "My uncle, my father, my brother," he was yelling from far away. So the people, before he even entered the village, they said something very important
has occurred, everybody come together. So the whole village got together and they said, yes, what happened? Why are you screaming? Tell us. He said, I went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you don't even imagine what I did. I urinated in his masjid. And after I did such a bad thing, مَا ضَرَبَنِي وَمَا شَتَمَنِي. He didn't hit me and he didn't scream at me. And you see this kurta? He gave me a gift. And you see this animal? He also gave me a gift. I want all of you to come and meet him. They're all non-Muslims. Look at what akhlaq can do. Akhlaq will not only bring closer our Muslims, but good akhlaq will bring closer even non-Muslims. This is such a weapon, a tool, which will break the hardest hearts. Jo sakht dil wale log honge, wo bhi kareeb aa jayenge achhe akhlaq ke wajah se. And that's what the Quraysh were, such hard people. They said, we will, if they used to say about Umar bin Khattab, because they knew about how hard person he was, the donkey of Umar accept Islam, but Umar will never accept Islam. Even Umar came into Islam because of the akhlaq of Nabi Baksas. This is what good akhlaq can do. The hardest people who are the enemies and they hate you, but if you do good akhlaq, even they will come to your feet. Yes. So this is why we need to establish good akhlaq. So this person, now he is calling all these non-Muslims and he said, you all should come and meet with the Prophet. Because he's such an incredible person. So he tashkilled, he got ready. More than 300 people, that is written in the books. More than 300 people got ready to go and meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they went to meet the Messenger of Allah, all of those people embraced Islam. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. The man is urinating in the masjid. Let's go and beat him up. Let's go and slap him. Okay, he got slapped and the sahabas beat him up and he left. How many people would have been deprived from iman? This is what the Prophet taught us. If you want the people to come close to Allah and His Rasul, you must have good akhlaq. If you want your family in your house to come closer to Allah and His Rasul, your tongue should be very nice. Your tongue should be very kind to people. Your words should be very soft to people. Then you will see the people will come close to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this, my brothers, we all have to read the seerah. Have to read the life of the Prophet. We have to make effort. We have to go and learn the life of the Prophet. We have to leave our houses for a few days. We have to go with the ulama. We have to go with the pious people. We have to change our environment. When we go in the environment of khair, in the environment of goodness, then automatically our heart will become good. So may Allah Ta'ala give me and you and all of us the ability to act upon what was said in heart. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.